we'll open up to. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 13. Maybe I should be in Exodus. No, we're not going to be there. Numbers chapter 13 and a little bit of chapter 14. Very little, depends how much time we have. 11:03. How's everybody? Good? Good? Smiley? Ready? I'm going to back up in case I spit on these families up front, one of which is mine. Just checking out my surroundings here. I'm glad to see everybody out. Jason, how you doing? Jason's going to close us in prayer for VBS afterwards. Either you or Jamie. Somebody's got to do that. Jamie did it the first service. Maybe Stephanie can do it. Who knows? She prays better than you, Jason. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love him. He prays better than anybody. All right. We're going to be talking about faith, as Sharon had alluded to. We're looking at heroes of old, and as we talked about Moses the previous week, we're going to now look at Caleb and Joshua. Do you remember those two guys? Caleb and Joshua. They were the faith followers of a clan of how many that went into the promised land? There were 12 of them, right? There were 12 that went into the promised land to spy it out. Two come back with a report. 10 come back with another report. One of the reports is driven by faith. One of the reports is driven by sight. And you have to understand as we start this, the enemy is out there to get you to walk by sight. And if I take these off, I can barely tell that Robert is there. I know he's there because I saw him with my glasses on. I can't see who's behind Robert, so those of you, if my glasses ever fall off, if you need to get out real quick, you know that I can't see past the third row. The enemy wants you to walk by sight, right? He wants you to be able to see everything and to know everything and to make sure it all is going to work out, that it all looks good to us, right? He wants us to walk by sight because in doing so, oftentimes, we miss out on what God has for us. Is that not true? The Lord, on the other hand, wants us to walk like this. He doesn't want us to drive like this. He wants us to walk like this, okay? You think texting and driving is bad? Try driving without glasses on. The Lord would have us to walk without these worldly, fleshly glasses on because He wants us to do something. He wants us to exercise our faith in Him or our trust in Him. The enemy, on the other hand, wants us to walk like this, trusting yourself, doing what you can do in your own strength, and receive what you can receive in your own power. Now, I know, Robert, this is a massive bicep, isn't it? Jason, what do you think? Keep working. I can't do anything in my own strength, as attested by my brother Jason, kindly, in the love of the Lord. When we walk this way, all we get is what we can see and what we can do. And rarely is what we can see, I can't wait to talk to you on Monday, and what we can do in our own strength, anything valuable for the Lord. Because it's not by our power, our might, our strength, right? It's by the power of the living God. It's by His Spirit working through us. And so you can understand why the enemy wants you to trust yourself and trust what you can see. Because then he's got you right where he needs you to be, walking outside of a faith walk with God, trusting in God, right? He got you outside of that, trusting in Him and yourself. And that's kind of what we see in these passages. This is what we're going to see in these passages. That there is an element of faith that needs to be exercised continually on our part, trusting in the Lord. Because God, when He promises us something, right, He's going to bring it to pass. When God makes a promise in the Scriptures, He's going to bring it to pass. God knows the end from the beginning, so you don't have to fear about what it looks like down there. God says, trust me as we walk together hand in hand by faith. Because without faith, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, it is impossible to please God. Faith now is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. As you begin to walk in faith, you'll begin to see the evidence of that which is not seen. God, He will reveal Himself in ways that you can't even fathom when you begin to walk in the faith that God requires of you to walk in from the day of salvation until the day you come home. This is a faith journey. And without faith, Hebrews chapter 11 says, it is impossible to please God. So let me ask you a question. What is God asking you to trust Him in so that you can see His power or His deliverance? What is God asking you to trust Him in by faith so that you might see His power or His deliverance in your life? Think about that. Because God's working on all of us all the time. God never says, sit still and calcify. God never says, sit still and become a stench because you're decaying, because you're not growing or changing. God's always got us what we call progressive sanctification. He's always got us becoming more and more like Him as we walk with Him day by day, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to take the Word of God, apply it to our lives, and transform us from the inside out. If you look the same today as you did the day when you were saved, and it's been years or months, something is wrong. You should be becoming more like Christ each day as you walk with Him. Why? Because God transforms you by faith, He sanctifies you by faith, and He brings you home by faith. Those who persevere, not by strength, but those who persevere in faith to the end shall be saved. And who keeps you believing? God keeps you believing because He's got you, right? 10:27, John. So with that in mind, thinking about what is God asking you to trust Him in by faith so that you might see His power or His deliverance, let's stand up and look at Numbers chapter 13 and a little bit of 14. Anybody got a date at 12? We may go a little bit. We'll try to get you out. Numbers chapter 13, if you're there, say amen. 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 If you want me to wait, say I gotta wait. All right, here we go. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its, somebody say the word leaders. Leaders. Send out the leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. Notice how he's told us that twice. There are leaders going out to lead people into a place where they would normally not go naturally by themselves. That's what leaders do. They take people where they would not naturally go by themselves. And then these are the names. So he lists the names of the tribes. If we jump back down to 16, these are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Very important, but just a side note, a parenthesis, that you would say, great, wonderful, who cares? But it's very important to what we're going to look at. I want you to think about, why would Moses change Hoshea's name to Joshua? When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. Anybody like grapes? Say amen. Amen. You'd like Canaan. Amen. So they went up to explore the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single, a single cluster of grapes. Two of them had to carry it on a pole between them. That's a big chunk of grapes. I guess, see what sin does? I mean, this is thousands of years ago. See how small our grapes are today? Back in the day, one cluster of grapes, Robert, you and I would have had to carry that bad boy out. I don't know if I could have done it. Anyway, they also gathered some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Wonderful, yes. Then they give a report. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. 28. But, let me just tell you, it's the if, ands, and buts that will kill you. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Are you shaking yet in your shoes? Are you fearful? Man, giants live there. Let's talk to David about giants. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to see the truth of a faith walk with you. Lord, I pray today that you would intersect our lives. Lord, there may be some people making decisions. There may be people that have made decisions that are not good, wishing they could go back. Father, I pray that you would allow us to see the opportunities that a faith walk could bring with you. Lord, we desire to see your power. We desire to see your deliverance, not by our hand, but by your hand. Father, the battle is of the Lord, and Father, we are grateful that you fight our battles. So Lord, encourage us today by the Spirit of God, applying the Word of God and its truth to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So what is the Lord asking you to follow him by faith so that you might see his power or his deliverance in your life? What in the world has God been working on you in your heart that he wants you to trust him by faith that you might see his miraculous power or his deliverance in your life? Think about that for a moment as I read Hebrews chapter 11. For faith now is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made by what was visible. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently or continually seek him. We are called into the kingdom by faith in him. Jesus redeems us by faith in him. We are cleansed along the way by the truth of God applied to our lives because we have faith in the God who wrote the revelation of himself to us. We are brought home to paradise, to glory, to the home prepared for us in heaven by faith. Those who persevere to the end, not by strength, but by faith shall be saved. It is God's strength that keeps us as his children. Everything in the family of God is done by faith. And you might not be able to see it, but God says, "Trust me." But the enemy says, no, trust yourself. Trust what you can see. Trust what's around you, because that's safer. Sure, it's safer if you think about it in terms of human perspective. But from God's perspective, he's like, "What are you waiting for? What are you afraid of? Why can't you trust me? I was able to save and redeem and forgive you of your sins, but you can't follow me day in and day out without having everything laid out before you like this? You'd rather trust the enemy than you would trust me? Do you see the battle that ensues? It's not just a story of God's people trying to make it into the promised land. It's about a battle for your devotion to either the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And so I ask again, what is it that God wants you to trust him by in faith that you might see his power or his deliverance in your life? How many of us have made choices in life that we go back years later and we say, I wonder what would have happened if I just would have, instead of, wonder what would have happened if I just would have trusted and listened instead of, where would I be today if I just would have, instead of, maybe you've made decisions that now you wish you could go back and just go, man, Lord, can I have a second chance? God is a God of second chances. Maybe today he's telling you, don't worry about what happened in the past. Today is a day to, you fled from that, but it chased you. It's right here again. Don't walk like this. Walk by faith. God wants us to trust him by faith. Because God knows the end from the beginning, right? We want to know all of it step by step. God told Moses, when you deliver the children of Egypt, or children of Israel out of Egypt, you will come back on this mountain. He gave him a fulfillment promise. He said, you will come back on this mountain and worship me. And Moses, thinking to himself, probably was like, my goodness, I couldn't even rescue my own people from the Egyptians. And you want me to deliver? You've picked the wrong man, God. And God's like, what are you talking about, Moses? I'm not going to use you and your strength. I'm going to use my power through you. What are you worried about, Pharaoh? He may have built an empire and a kingdom for himself, but I am the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everywhere anybody tarries on this thing called the earth, the planet, it's mine. I created it out of nothing. I am that powerful. Moses, what are you afraid of? Follow me by faith. And what is God asking you to trust him by faith in, that you might see his miraculous power or his deliverance? What in the world? I don't know what he's asking you to do. But God wants you to understand there are consequences to walking like this as opposed to walking like this. And that's kind of where we see the children of Israel at when they are standing before the promised land. Now you've got to remember some backstory here. These people have been in bondage, what, for 400 years, right? God promised them that, right? God promised them that they would be in bondage for 400 years, right? Did he not say that? But he didn't say that he would leave them there. God said he would raise up a deliverer. God also said to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis and 15 that he would make him a great nation. And watch, I'm going to bring my people out. Why? Because I promised it. I said it would be so. So it is so. That's faith. Faith is believing. I love what Tony Evans says. You want to know what faith is? This is what Tony Evans says, eloquently said. Faith is believing something is so, even when it is not visibly so, that it might be so simply because God said so. Amen, Tony. They've been rescued out of Egypt, out of bondage of 400 years to the enemy, chained and shackled to do slave labor, to be oppressed by the enemy. Does anybody sound familiar in someone's life? You're like, yeah, I know what that's like. Living in darkness, I've been chained to the enemy, I can't break away. Every time I think I get free, I get chained back, I get pulled back, whipped back into the old lifestyle that I can't stand. It would just be a different devil, different enemy, but I keep facing the same thing. God's people saw him deliver them from Egypt, rescue them, bringing them down a way they never thought they would go, cornered at the end of land and a river. And God even provides an opening, right, that they walk through the waters on dry land unscathed as the waters come back and swallow up the enemy. symbolizing freedom from the enemy forever. They saw God provide through the plagues to keep them safe. They saw God do crazy things, turning water to blood and, you know, bringing all kinds of flies and pestilence and frogs and who knows what else they saw, all kinds of weird plagues, but they were unscathed. And here they are, standing on the promised land, ready to go in. And there is this battle that ensues. They are wanting to walk like this instead of this. And walking like this brings dire consequences that we'll see in chapter 14 for generations that are right there on the promised deliverance line. They just don't have the faith to push them across. And it costs them dearly. So let's look at these passages and see if we can maybe avoid some of their mistakes, learn from their mistakes, and follow God faithfully in the areas that He's asking us to trust Him, that we might see His power or His deliverance. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." Moses is calling out leaders to go explore this land that God is giving them. They go out, they look at the land, they come back, and they start complaining and all these things. But the first thing you have to remember is that what God promises, God will bring to pass. It may not be in this time frame, it may not be in this time frame, it may not be in that time frame, but God always promises something in your life that He always brings to pass. And it may not look like you think it might look, but it's always fulfilled, because when God makes a promise, He never, ever, ever forgets it or lets it fall to the wayside. God is a God who provides through His promises. God is a God who provides. God is a God that never forgets His children. No matter where you've been, how long you've been there, God will always come through. So as we start these passages, you think about it, they're going to explore a land that God's already going to give them. Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Well, then why would you have to go explore it? Because it's easier to walk like this than it is to walk like this. Are you sure that it's a good land? Well, God is a good God, right? He is the good shepherd. The Lord is good. He's a refuge in time of my trouble. The Lord is good. You alone and you alone, alone, God, are good. God, Lord, good, good, good. You can look through all the scriptures. God is good. What He creates is good. Why would you have to go question Him? Well, somebody said in the first service, well, Drew, but God said for them to go explore the land. Well, if we look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22, "Then all of you came to me and said, 'Let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to.'" It seems as if it wasn't God commanding them to go. It almost seems as if when you look back at Deuteronomy, which was written after Numbers, which kind of clarifies, the people came to Moses and said, "We need to go in. We need to spy out and check out this land." Why? Because they didn't believe what God was telling them or giving them, and they had to make sure it all looked proper. And so when we get to Numbers, it's as if Moses and God had this conversation, and God's like, "Fine, send some people out into the land to spy it out. Don't you trust me?" I'm like, that's kind of the tone that we have here. Why do we question what God has for us? Why do we question the God of creation who knit us together in our mother's womb? I know some of us don't like the fact that our hair is falling out or that our nose is a little crooked, but God created us and He made us fearfully and wonderfully made, right? God knows what He's doing. He never made anything and said, "Oh, that stinks. Just call that a fly." No, even the flies are good to God. I can't imagine, but He's going to explain that one in heaven. When God calls us to walk like this, you really shouldn't doubt what the Lord's doing. Well, it doesn't look right. Well, no, nothing that God calls us to, Moses, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Paul, David, nothing that he calls us to, Elijah, Job, looks right to the human eyes. That's why it's called a faith journey. Walk by faith. Trust me. You can't understand my thoughts or my ways because they are higher than you little grasshoppers. So when God begins to reveal to us something that he's promised us, don't walk with the lenses on. Walk by faith. They begin to question. Let's go. So they go out into the land. And he doesn't send just ordinary Joes. He sends leaders. Why? Because leaders understand forward movement. Leaders understand we need to go and possess. We need to take people where they naturally would not go by themselves. We need to help lead them. So we're going to go. And so Moses sends these leaders to come out back with the report, the reconnaissance report of how wonderful it is, just to encourage the people that, yes, this is what the Lord's doing. We must go. We must go. We must go. What are we waiting for? He's brought us this far. We should not doubt the Lord. Even when things don't look right. If it lines up with the word of God, if it lines up with the promises of God, walk each day by faith, trusting the Lord as he reveals to you every step of the way what he's doing. And eventually you will see the power or the deliverance of God in your life. So they begin to walk. They go out there. And even before they go, in verse 16, these are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. What in the world is Moses doing here? Well, if you have to understand a little bit about what the name means, Hoshea means salvation. So Moses doesn't want Hoshea to just walk with the understanding that there is deliverance or there is salvation ahead in generic form from anyone. This isn't just a Disney, oh, just believe, if you believe you can be whatever you want to be, just believe. What the heck's that mean? Believe in what? Believe in yourself, believe in the clouds, believe in whatever, and you'll be whatever you want to be. That's a bunch of hogwash. So Moses doesn't want Hoshea just to believe that salvation in generic form is out there just in and from any God, because you're going to come into a lot of gods in this land as you look at these people, because they worship a lot of false gods. So he changes his name from Hoshea, salvation, to Joshua, which means the Lord saves. He wanted to make sure that before Hoshea went into the land that he was so set in his understanding that he knew without a shadow of a doubt that God alone brings salvation, that God alone is the deliverer, that God alone is the one that is in this land and has given it to you. So don't you doubt that salvation alone, deliverance alone, comes from not just believing in the fairies and the whatever, but it's from the Lord. Sorry, Disney, but that's truth. Cinderella, that's not everybody's story. And so he makes sure that Hoshea understands that this, where you're going, what you're going to experience, what God is going to do and deliver you from, is from Yahweh, the God of all creation. And because it's from him, it's a guarantee. Like it or not, it's a guarantee. And so Moses sends them out into Canaan, and they go through this land, and they look at how wonderful all of it is. And then they grab some grapes, but they do see that there's giants in the land. There are the people of Anak, and you know the people that are from the Nephilim. They got these giants in there. And so they come back after exploring the land that God was already going to give them. They go to make sure, just to make sure. I just want to make sure that God's going to deliver me from this. I just want to make sure that it's all going to work out. I just want to make sure that if I give up this sin that's beset me for so long, that God's got something better. I just got to make sure. After they just got to make sure it, and they came back, they begin to give the report as leaders nonetheless. Think about this, as leaders. They came back in verse 26 to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly that showed and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. Now remember, whenever somebody is serving the Lord, when you come to a crossroad in your walk with the Lord, when you come to a crossroad where God is asking you to do something that's absolutely beyond what you can see and requires you to walk like this, there will always, Jason, if I'm not mistaken, there will always be two reports of which way to go. Always. There will always be two reports. One will always be bad, and one will always be good. One will always be bad, and one will always be good. One will always be easier to follow, and one will always require faith in the Lord. And it's funny because the majority report always seems to, because it banters to our flesh, come with this kind of report. This kind of report, a faith walk report, usually is the minority which stretches people to take off these glasses and trust the Lord who has brought you from here, from there to here. And when I say about these two reports, you have to remember the context. These people have seen God work in miraculous, powerful ways of deliverance. Why in the world would God deliver you from something to let you just be used up and washed up on the side of the road and not used in His kingdom? Why would God do what He's done in your past to get you to a point where He says, just trust me, thinking this should be natural, and you go, man, this can't be of God, I can't do that, and you check out? God doesn't bring you from bondage and through deliverance, through His miraculous power, to bring you to the finish line where you go, no, I don't trust you. Why do we let that happen to us? Because we begin to walk like this and listen to the enemy of sight and doubt. God doesn't bring His people out of bondage just to laugh at them when they're right before the finish line, coming into the promised land and go, ha ha, I was just kidding, David. Your life's going to be a bunch of hell. Ha! You're on your own. No, He doesn't do that. But the enemy, I tell you, in this room alone, the enemy has probably told 90% of us that's how God operates. Because of what you did, where you've been. I know God worked back then, but He can't. No, because you're this or you're that, or you've done this or you've done that. How in the world? No, you don't deserve. You can't. No, God's not promising you anything. You've seen it wrong. The devil is a liar. Brought me out of a life of sin and debauchery and all kinds of stupid stuff. Not just to leave me on the side of the road, but to reorganize my life and to set me on a course that caused me to walk like this every day. Leaders go in and give the report, and there's always going to be two reports. Why are there going to be two reports? Because of this and this. What does that mean? Well, let's look. They gave this report. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Oh, it's pretty good. Here's its fruit. Check out these grapes that drew in. I won't say it, Robert. But the people who live there are powerful. You see, the majority report always does something wrong when they keep their glasses on. They put the but in the wrong place. But the people, but the cities, but the fortified walls, what do? They look at the obstacles. But all these obstacles around us, how in the world we see all these obstacles? But the obstacles. It's a great land, but the obstacles. We cannot let the obstacles hinder us from walking like this. David saw Goliath like this, right? But he also understood that he was an uncircumcised Philistine and he came against the living God, and therefore he must be destroyed, and he will be destroyed, not by David in a little slingshot, but by the sovereign hand of God, who was offended at the uncircumcised Philistine, no matter if he was 40 feet tall and David was an ant. That would have worked out, because God is the God who wants you to trust Him by faith, to to see his miraculous power and his deliverance. People who walk by, oh, that hurt, so don't take your glasses on and off. People who walk like this by sight, when God says the just shall live by faith, they see all the obstacles in the way and they can't get past it because their faith is puny. And the obstacles and everything that looks like you cannot overcome it begins to be bigger than God. We magnify, like Barry said, we magnify the wrong thing. We magnify the situation and the obstacles instead of magnifying the Lord and trusting in him, even though you can't see how it's going to work out. They're big in the land. You put the but in the wrong place. It should have been, but God will be with us. And that's where Caleb jumps in. Then Caleb silenced the people because that's what leaders that really are following God do. They don't just slam them to the ground. They silence them because they want them to understand, hey, you're walking like this. Let's go back to the truth. God's brought us from Egypt. He called a deliverer. His name is Moses. We walked with him even through the desert. We've seen the waters split. We've seen the enemy devoured. We've seen how God kept us free from the plagues. He's done so much in our lives. Don't you remember what God has done? Why would he bring us here to the finish line just to leave us alone? And so Caleb tries to redirect them from walking by sight to walking by faith. And he said, we can't. He said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Why? Because God is with them. God has given them this land. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report among the land they had explored. Sure, you know what? I don't doubt that some of the things we look at are overwhelming, do look insurmountable. This has been going on for 30 years in your life, and is it ever going to end? Yes, it's going to end. How does it end, Drew? How does it end? It ends by walking like this, listening to the promises of God, knowing the promises of God, and walking by faith in the promises of God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not who diligently sit on the couch, watch football, and eat potato chips all day long and miss church and miss the fellowship. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and walk by faith. Caleb was just trying to encourage the majority who were wrong to walk by faith and see the deliverance and the salvation that's only found in God. You know, when you begin to walk by sight, we almost sound a little bit irrational and ridiculous. Do you ever sound that way sometimes? When as a faith follower, you come up against obstacles and you begin to walk by sight, do you ever just sound silly, like you magnify things that really shouldn't be that big in your life? Whether it's, you know, doctor report, whether it's a conversation with your boss and you think it's gone sour, or you think that God can't save your neighbor across the street who maybe has toilet papered your house, or I don't know, who knows what's happened. You know, you're fighting about the fence line. I had that happen. I had police called on me because I tore up a bush that was on my line, but it wasn't on my line, I guess. So have you ever thought that way? That certainly God can't do this in my life. It's been so long. God can do it. God can make the sun stand still if he needs to. God is in the business of rescuing, delivering, and showing his power to those who live by faith. Treva and my daughter Adele went this weekend, I know you're going to hate me for this, but to get their noses pierced. Ah! This was divinely appointed by the Lord. They went into this place, and it was all filled with Buddhist paraphernalia and stuff and imageries and all that. And so Treva went in and she said, so what religion are you? And the guy said, oh, I'm a Christian. I met the Lord in prison from a faithful saint who was holding weekly Bible studies. I gave my life to the Lord. And he's changed me. And I am different. And God has been faithful to provide for me every step of the way. Well, what do you mean? Well, who's going to hire a convict? Who's going to hire somebody that's been in prison? God said, don't worry, follow me by faith. God showed me how to make a living. This man pierces people. He said, in a vision from the Lord, I had a vision that I was to go into the piercing business. He said, I make almost $250,000 every year as a ex-convict because I am faithful to share and serve my God who has saved and redeemed me. I follow him by faith, and every day I leave my office here from piercing people at a flat rate of $15. I walk away every day with no less than $1,500 in my pocket. I'm like, gosh, we are in the wrong business. We need to begin walking by faith and not by sight. He did nothing special. He followed the Lord by faith, and he's been provided for. He's been delivered. He's been redeemed and made new again, an ex-convict that everybody would say, we can't hire you. God has provided for him because he walks by faith. Amen? Amen. They come back, they give the report, and Caleb jumps in as a leader does and tries to reorganize the people to walk by faith and look at the Lord. Irrational thinking, they said here in verse 12, said that the land we explored devours those living in it. And then the very next sentence they say, all the people we saw there are giant size. The land that devours all the living is still capable of raising up giant people who probably need a lot of corn-fed, you know, meals. How is that possible? That's irrational thought because you're not walking by faith. You're walking by sight. And then they go on later to say in chapter 14, they grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly and said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. So what they're saying is it would have been better to die back then instead of die now. Is any of those two options a good choice, to die earlier than later or later than earlier? No, they're irrationally thinking because they're not walking by faith. What is God asking you to trust him in by faith that you might see his miraculous power or his deliverance? God wants to deliver you just like he delivered his people. Next week in chapter 14, we'll look at the consequences of unbelief. That's really what it is. They don't believe in a God who is faithful even when we're faithless. They don't believe in the promises of God. They'd rather walk this way than this way. I had that happen to me last week. I came to work. It was Thursday. I think we were all late. I don't know what happened. Like, power went out and the alarm clocks. Mallory was late. I was late. I don't know. Jason walked in out of his office. He's probably the only one that was here early. Everybody else was late. It's like 9:30. I'm walking in. And as I'm walking in the front door, I do my little key tag and I look over to the right and I see this family in the apartments on the front yard. And God was like this. You know how God does that sometimes as you're walking? He's like, would you look over there? Got a mission for you. Well, when he did this, I was like this, you know, make sure my glasses didn't fall off. And he's like, go share with those people. And I'm like, nope, I'm late. I got things to do. I got a sermon to prepare. I got to talk to Jason. I got to say hi to all the people in there. And I'm late and I look like a fool. I can't go over there and share with them. And I said all of that in my mind in a split second. As God said, look over there. I'm like, all that ran through my head as I opened the door and walked in. See how the enemy works? But what could have happened if I would have just stopped, turned around, and walked over to that family on their front yard? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Because God is so wonderful that he gave me a second chance. Why? Because God is a God of second chances. 3 hours later, when I was going to lunch, I walked out the door and God went, and I was like, stop it, that hurts. And those people were still in their front yard, same family. And I had just sat with a couple and shared with them how dry I felt. COVID, not sharing, not seeing anyone delivered. And God's like, huh. And so when I walked out there and saw that, my friend said, are you up for it? And I was like, heck yes, I'm up for it. And so we walked over to this family. and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. At which point, this young girl comes across to the front of the group, and she's the only one that can really articulately read, you know, well. So she starts reading the scriptures, and she's in tune. You can see God just working, and it's lovely when God does that, because you don't have to say nothing, but do you want to? God was drawing her in. And she went down the gospel presentation, and at the end, we're like, do you want? She's like, yes, I want to be forgiven. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That was our question. Or, do you want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life by simple faith in Him for the forgiveness of your sins? And she said, yes. And so my friend, because this girl had no idea what to say, she was nervous, he led her in a recite after me type of prayer as she cried out to God to save and redeem her. And that day, this young girl, in front of her family, became a child of God, forgiven of her sins, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, delivered by the miraculous power as she walked by faith down a journey to obey the Scriptures. With that, she turns around and vomits all over the place. No lie. As the kingdom of darkness comes out of her. I looked at her mother and I said, does this happen often? She's like, never. That's how powerful God is. I wiped that young lady up with my shirt and I said, are you okay? She said, I feel great. And I said, it's because you're free. She's like, I'm a child of God. I said, yes, and you will never be ripped from His family. And we were able to pray with her entire family and walk away knowing that God is faithful because we chose to walk like this and not like this. What is God asking you to trust Him by faith in that you might see His miraculous power or His deliverance in your life? Only you can answer that. I pray that you would respond to that and carry that out this week. If all of us carried it out this week and just said yes to the Lord, what would this place look like? The stories, the testimonies, the lives changed, the families restored. Well, I don't see how it's going to work out with me and whoever. Oh, I know you don't see it. Start walking like this and trusting what God says will happen if both of you try to work it out. If you sit down and talk with your kids, if you have a conversation with your neighbor or your coworkers, who knows what God will do, but you ain't going to see it walking like this. Trust Him every step of the way. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to hear Your word and to be encouraged. Lord, as we continue to worship You in spirit and truth, I pray that we would respond in our hearts to the message that we heard and simply obey. For nothing else but the glory that You deserve. May it be glory to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Amen.